I was elated. I had been waiting for this promotion for years. When I convinced my mother-in-law to finally allow me to marry my husband, I promised her that within 5 years I would be making 7 figures. She's going to hold the fact that it took me 6 years over my head until the old bat dies. No matter, though. I got Matthew. I was infatuated with him from the word go. I knew he felt the same, but shy and reclusive young man that he was would never have married me without his mother's permission. 6 years later, and he is still the same shy boy he was, but he has grown a couple of teeth. Enough to nibble, but not enough to truly bite. Just the way I like it. Naturally, he is a house husband. Not that he had much yearning for a career anyway. And he is a wonderful one. We have housekeepers to deal with most of the housework, so all he has to do is cook my meals and look pretty on my arm. We could afford a cook, especially now, but he was staunchly against the idea. I think he liked that there was something he could do to serve me. Instead of allowing the housekeeper to greet me at the door and take my coat, he always insists on doing it himself. It didn't matter what time I was coming home, he always managed to be at the door waiting for me, and I adored it. He would take my coat and kiss me like I was the most wonderful thing he had ever seen. I heard the honeymoon phase didn't last as long as this, but I think we are going to be in this phase until we no longer have the strength to kiss each other. If I had to pick a downside, and this would be a gun to my head scenario, I would say that Matthew is not very stylish. He does not take a lot of pride in his appearance. Not that that is usually a problem, believe me, he certainly doesn't need to, and I know that a vain boy would be a huge turn-off for me. I, much like Matthew, held a disdain for the vapid husbands of some of my colleagues. Still, as a high-flying professional, I had a lot of functions to attend. Matthew hated them because he knew the importance of making a good impression and he just couldn't bother himself with the time it took for clothes and hair. I always warned him beforehand so he could make an appointment with the hairdresser, and he did it with only minor huffing and puffing. The problem was his wardrobe. I give him a generous allowance for his essentials and his amusement, and he rarely spends any of it. Certainly did not spend it on clothes. So when a function comes up, he always has nothing to wear. And that brings us to today. Matthew moaned and whined, but I eventually dragged him out of the house on one of my rare days off to get him some nice clothes. I told him that if we did all the shopping now, we wouldn't have to do it again for a while. He continued to pout, which I would have found cute were I not already stressed. So I said to him, "You will behave or there will be consequences." The pout softened but didn't disappear, so I gave him a warning smack on the arse and that seemed to do the trick, and he got into the car. He said, "I'm sorry, Ava. I didn't mean to be bratty or disrespectful. I just hate this stuff." I, sitting in the driver's seat of the car, reached over and massaged the back of his neck, saying, "I know, my sweet. But like I said, once we finish this, it will be over, and we won't need to do it for at least another year. Provided you keep yourself trim and fit for me," I added, teasingly. He blushed and looked down with a shy smile. I almost believed that would mean he was going to behave for the rest of the day. But I've been wrong before. All right. Let's start from the beginning. We arrived at the shop and were greeted by a lovely young man who seemed eager to help. He asked what it was we were looking for, and I said, "Several outfits that will be useful for cocktail parties and a couple more suited for formal gatherings." I could tell the young man knew he'd hit the jackpot with us as customers. He was very helpful and brought out several things for our appraisal, or rather, my appraisal, as the only acknowledgement Matthew ever gave was an "It's nice." After the third "it's nice," I was starting to get a little frustrated. "Matthew," I said, "if you don't start paying attention, you are going to be in trouble." Even the young sales assistant was starting to look annoyed with Matthew, especially after he started playing on his phone while the other man was showing him this wonderful cocktail outfit that accented the buttocks in the perfect way. This was something he couldn't afford even with his discount, and it clearly bothered him that Matthew didn't seem to care. that was when the flirting started. So, I know we don't do ladies' wear, but I must ask, what do you plan to be wearing, Mum? It might give me a better idea of what to look for. I could barely contain a smirk. A less savvy woman would have missed that. Stone-cold professional this boy was. I bet he had plenty of wealthy women eating out of the palm of his hand. A clever man knew exactly how to flirt without making it look like he was flirting, lest he be labelled a floozy and put over the knee of the nearest female guardian. I'll be wearing a purple floor-length dress for the next formal function. For cocktail parties, I usually stick to black. I'm boring that way. I can hardly believe that, Mum. I know what boring looks like. Oh, that was towing the line, but the man carefully kept his eyes off my husband, so he could have been talking about anything. Still, it was overt enough that even Matthew picked up on it, putting his phone away. The frown on his face, and pressing into my side, was the most animated I'd seen him all day. I very deliberately reached back and squeezed one of his delectable ass cheeks. He blushed a deep crimson, but looked a little happier as the shop boy walked away. Being the only ones in the front of the shop now, I slid my hand into my husband's trousers, and slid a finger into his ass crack.
Ava, he said, please, not here.
Well, if you don't want to be properly disciplined in front of the shop boy, you'll start behaving. Once again, he didn't say anything, just looked at the ground. I pulled my hand out of his trousers, took hold of his little cock and balls to keep him in place, and gave him a few short, sharp smacks on his backside. Do you understand?
Yes, Ava.
Good. I'd never punished him in public before, so I think there was a part of him that believed I wouldn't do it. But he's been wrong before, too. Just in time for me to let go of his abused little package, the shop boy returns. I've prepared the changing rooms with the items we've looked at. Please follow me. I thought about leading Matthew to the changing room by his cock, as many of my colleagues had done to their wayward husbands when they were being obstinate, but there was no need. He went without a fight. Trying on the first shirt was not a struggle. Well, don't you look a treat, I said, as he paired a pale blue shirt with a tight pair of trousers. He blushed and smiled, and for the first time that day, I think he actually liked what he saw in the mirror. Turn around. Now put your foot up on the stool. Now stand up straight. Now bend over. I think the fit is a little loose here, I said, pinching his bottom.
It's already too tight, Ava. No more.
No, no. A good man is like a good mannequin. He looks pretty, and he never complains, especially about the clothes that are put on him. He certainly never complains that they're too tight. On the word tight, I pinched his bottom again. He squeaked rather cutely.
Ava, stop it. I don't like people looking at me.
You're a pretty man, darling. You were made to be looked at. That's why I wish you would take a greater interest in fashion. Your primary function is sexually serving women, so why wouldn't you want them looking at you? He was silent for a moment.
Because I only want you looking at me.
I couldn't help myself. I smiled and pulled him upright, giving him a short, sweet kiss. I then ran my hand up his thigh, before standing up and pressing myself into his back. Imagine you wearing this, decked out like a proper gentleman. Everyone is going to be so jealous of me. I reached around and massaged his stomach while kissing his neck. He closed his eyes and leaned back against me as I unbuttoned the trousers and freed his pretty little cock to the air. I took a hold of it and pumped it to semi-hardness, all the while ravaging his neck. I slipped my finger into his crack and was just about to breach him when a thought occurred to him and he squirmed away.
Ava, we're in public. Someone will hear.
Without missing a beat, I said, very well. and sat down, with my arms folded, waiting for him to continue trying things on. I knew for a fact that these upmarket changing rooms were soundproof, but decided against telling him that in case I wanted to make use of it later. And oh boy did I need to, because once we went back to the business of trying on clothes, the problems started again. He tried on the next few shirts quickly and without moaning, but by the time we got to the fifth one, he was starting to huff again. I gave him a warning look, which just seemed to make him angrier, and by the seventh one, he lost his patience.
"These are all the same, Ava. I don't care which ones you get. Get them all or none of them. I don't care."
Suffice to say, the sexual teasing had made him more irritable than he otherwise would have been, and the shopping had already wound him up. So this was an unusual outburst. Still, it wasn't one I could let him get away with. I became silent and gave him a dangerous look. "I don't believe that's an appropriate tone to be using with your wife." He realized his mistake right away.
Ava, I'm sorry, I'm..."
But I wouldn't be moved. I strode over to him and grabbed his wrist, throwing him over my knee and yanking his borrowed trousers down along with his underwear.
"Ava, not here, please not here."
"Well, if you didn't want to be punished in public, you shouldn't have disrespected me in public." I delivered the first slap and he cried out. He never could take a spanking.
"Ava, I'm sorry, I didn't mean it, I was just frustrated."
I delivered another slap. You know what happens to men who allow themselves to become frustrated.
"Not the cage, please, Ava, I'll be good. I don't like it, I don't like it."
"Well, if you're going to allow instincts to control your actions, then we need to exert some control over the place all man's instincts come from."
No, please. "I'll take the spanking. I'm a good husband. I'm a good boy. I promise. Ava, please."
"Well, you're just going to have to prove that to me. You're going to take every single one of the 20 spanks I'm going to give you. Then I am going to call the sales assistant in here and you are going to apologize to him for being disrespectful to all his hard work and assure him that you have been properly disciplined for it. There's nothing more humiliating than a woman who doesn't have control over her man, especially in the face of another man. Are we in agreement?" He was silent for a moment and then nodded. "I can't hear you."
"Yes, Ava, whatever you say. I'm your obedient husband."
"Good boy." I then ordered him to stand up and face the mirror with his underwear around his ankles as I invited the shop boy in. "Do you have something to say, Matthew? I'm sorry for my attitude today. You were working very hard for me and my wife and I was very dismissive. Please be assured I've had severe correction." The shop boy looked him up and down. If I wasn't looking for it, I would have missed the minute smirk he wore. But at the same time, he looked a little jealous. "I accept your apology. Thank you for your patronage, ma'am. Is there anything else I can help you with?" "No, I think we're fine for now." When we were alone again, Matthew started crying. I reached out and soothed his aching backside. I could tell he wanted me to hold him but didn't know if he was allowed to move. I pulled him into my embrace and we sat on the chaise longue with him in my lap, his ruby bottom on the seat and his legs across mine. We sat like that for a long time as I soothed him. Eventually he said, "Are you still cross with me?" "No, darling. Didn't I tell you? Once punishment is over, the bad behavior is erased. You took your spanking and you apologized. I'm so proud of you." He sniffled, then sank to his knees.
"Please, let me," he said.
And he pushed at my skirt. I knew what he wanted. He had taken his punishment, but he still felt guilty, so pleasuring me would make him feel better. I decided to be magnanimous and allowed him the privilege. The one thing I could never fault my Matthew on was his tongue. He knew how to pleasure a woman, even confessed to buying one of those naughty toys to practice on. The sex toy industry had boomed in recent years. Since men's sexual exploits were highly restricted, many young men had turned to toys as a means of release. Not that they should be allowed that release without permission, but I suppose women can't have eyes in the backs of their heads. Plus, if it gave him this sort of skill, it was a trade-off I was more than willing to make. First of all, he gave me one long, slow lick before flicking his tongue hard and fast across my clit. He alternated between that and sucking at it for several minutes before he finally put his tongue inside me. He ran the thick muscle along my inner walls as he worked at making me highly sensitive. He then thrust his tongue in and out at a rapid rate like a mini jackhammer. I still don't know how he does that. I started moaning, and that just encouraged him further. If I were a little less sex-addled, I would have realized that he wanted me to make noise. He wanted the shop boy to know that I was his wife, and he could perform his husbandly duties just fine, thank you very much. Maybe there is a bit of a minx in him after all. He then pushed his tongue in, as deep as it would go, and found my secret spot. He alternated between massaging it with his tongue and thrusting the whole muscle in and out until I was coming so beautifully that I nearly saw stars. I breathed deeply, and as I came back to myself, I looked down at him, utterly content, with my juices all over his face. He made a true sight, with a blissed out look, a hard cock, and a rosy red bottom. "Come, darling," I said. "If we finish this shopping trip, I'll take you out for lunch." Under any other circumstances, he would have groaned, but he was so utterly subject to my will that he just nodded. I intend to take him home, lay him on the bed, and ravish him with my cunt until he was coming deep inside me. Then I would turn him over, spread soothing lotion on his bottom, and cuddle him until he fell asleep. But I wasn't going to tell him that just yet.